Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey, and welcome to this great Feast of the Immaculate Conception. I want to share a brief article by Father Sullivan before we take a look at the readings for this feast. On May 13, 1917, the Blessed Mother began appearing to three children in Fatima, Portugal. Her message was both timely and timeless. She told them of the need for prayer and repentance, of the call to peace and conversion, and warned them of a future filled with faithlessness. In the course of the coming year of 2017, we will consider how Our Lady's appearance at Fatima still can impact our lives today by looking at a particular Marian feast of that month. In this month of December, we celebrate the solemnity of Mary's Immaculate Conception. That's the feast today. She who would be the Mother of God was created without sin in the womb of her own mother, Saint Anne. Miracle? Yes. The Blessed Mother stands before us, calling us to her Son. We then, bolstered by the love of Christ, acknowledge that we are sinners. Mary calls us to her Son. In this Advent season, that's what we need to do. Allow ourselves to hear the call of Christ, to draw closer to Him. And it is our mother who prays for us. We're not alone. We're never alone. She is constantly praying for us that we may fulfill the will of her Son. Father Sullivan goes on to say, too often we overlook or dismiss our sins. He says that as we stand before the Blessed Mother today, who gave her whole life for her Son, he says, we need, bolstered by the love of Christ, we need to acknowledge that we are sinners. Take some time today. Accompany the Blessed Mother as she adores her Son. Ask her to pray for you. Ask her to intercede for you. Father Sullivan says, too often we overlook or dismiss our sins. Oh, it's just my personality. Or we deny that these sins exist, or we excuse them away. Oh, it was just a misunderstanding. The truth, however, is that we are sinners, and in fact, we do sin. Confessing that is necessary. Confessing that is necessary for our coming closer to Christ our Savior. Mary was conceived without sin. Great gift, a great miracle from God Himself to prepare her to be His earthly mother. But she was more than His earthly mother. She's the mother of us all. She's a real mother. And how does Mary pray for us? How does she pray for us? I can hear her saying, shake off the blindness that covers your eyes. Take out those things that stop your ears from hearing the voice of my Son. Draw near to me. In this Advent season, right here, listen for His voice. Learn to hear His voice. I carried Him. I brought Him into the world. But He is your God. He is your Savior, your Redeemer. Will you accept Him? I believe our mother asks that of us. Will you accept Him as Savior? May this be a season where we grow in faith, where we ask the Blessed Mother to pray for us. It's a very, very important thing to do. In fact, it's rather essential. O God, who by the Immaculate Conception of the Blessed Mother prepared a worthy dwelling for your Son, grant, we pray, that as you preserved her from every stain by virtue of the death of your Son, which you foresaw, so through her intercession that we too may be cleansed and admitted to your presence. Don't you think your mother in heaven wants that for you? Of course she does. Draw near to him. Book of Genesis, chapter 3, verses 9 to 15, and then verse 20. After the man Adam had eaten of the tree, the Lord God called to the man and asked him, "Where are you?" And he answered, "I heard you in the garden, but I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself." Then God asks him, "Who told you that you were naked?" See, before they lived in a sinless condition, so they wouldn't have been ashamed of anything because they lived in perfection. "Who told you that you were naked? You have eaten that from the tree of which I had forbidden you to eat." We get it wrong from the beginning, don't we? And the man replied, "The woman whom you put here with me, she gave me the fruit from the tree, and so I ate it." In other words, it's not all my fault. It's not all my fault. It's hers. And the Lord God then asked the woman, "Why did you do such a thing?" And the woman answers, "The serpent tricked me into it." It's been in us, brothers and sisters, from the beginning to deny that we sin, or at least to put the blame on somebody else. The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you shall be banned from all the animals and from all the wild creatures. On your belly shall you crawl, and dirt shall you eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman. Who's going to fight the enemy? The woman. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will strike at your head while you strike at his heel." The man called his wife Eve because she became the mother of all the living. They gave up paradise. They gave up paradise because they wanted one thing and it wasn't available to them, or they were asked not to eat from the fruit of that tree. That's the only thing they had, paradise. And they were asked to do only one thing. Isn't that the perversity of human nature? The one thing I'm asked not to do is the one thing I'm almost irresistibly drawn to do. That's sin. That's evil. I'm entitled to it. I ought to be able to have it. I should be able to enjoy it. What we need to do is go before the Lord and say, "Lord, apart from you, I perish. Apart from you, I have no good. But with you, I can become your servant. I can become your follower, your disciple. I can become more and more your son or your daughter." That's what we want. So we can lift our heads and we can point out the way to other people because we found it. We share not out of theory, we share out of a lived experience. Don't listen to the voice of the serpent. He will attract, he will entice. He knows what your weak spots are, and so he will entice you right there in those weak spots that are extremely hard to resist. You go to God and you say, "Lord, I want you before me, behind me, above me, beneath me." That's what you say to God. "Lord, I want you at the center of my life." Psalm 98, "Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous deeds." And one of the greatest of marvels was the Blessed Mother. Do you honor her? Do you invite her into your life? In her purity, in her holiness, in her beauty, in her joy, in her peace. She will lead you right to her son. Take her for a companion. Ask her to walk with you. Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 3 to 6 and 11 to 12. Brothers and sisters, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavens, as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world to be holy and without blemish before him. In love he destined us for adoption to himself through Jesus Christ, in accord with the favor of his will, for the praise of the glory of his grace that he granted us in the Beloved. In him we were also chosen, destined, in accord with the purpose of the one who accomplishes all things according to the intention of his will, so that we might exist for the praise of his glory, we who first hoped in Christ. We're called to live for the praise of his glory. We're called to know his presence, to know him and to love him. Step into your destiny. Step into your call. Step into your vocation. Ask the Blessed Mother to pray for you, that your faith may mature in this season, that you might become more and more a disciple, a son, or a daughter of God, the Most High. It's true. It's not just imagery, brothers and sisters. This is true. This is reality. May God give you faith to believe. In the Gospel of Luke, it's chapter 1, verses 26 to 38, and time-wise, I don't have time to read through the entire Gospel. It's a very, very familiar Gospel. But I want you to take it, and I want you to read every word of it. This is the angel Gabriel coming to Mary and saying to her, "Do not be afraid, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of David his father. And he will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." What a glorious proclamation. But Mary said to the angel, "How can this be?" I mean, she's just being very practical. How can this be, since I have no relations with a man? And the angel said to her in reply, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you." This is the Immaculate Conception. "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." This was God's action, and Mary consented to it. Talk about changing your life totally, upside down, inside out. And what were her words after she asked her legitimate question? "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Be it done unto me according to your word." Behold, I am the Son of God. May your will be done in me according to your word. That's what each of us, man or woman, is called to give to God. May you have the grace to do so. God bless you. I have been speaking a great deal recently about faith. I have a booklet entitled Faith More Precious Than Gold that I would like to offer you free if you would call our 800 number, 1-800-282-4789. You can also request it by going to our website, renewalministries.net. Perhaps it would be a gift that you would like to give this Christmas. I urge you to read Faith More Precious Than Gold.